We are back with a new episode of Wildcat Wednesday on the Bear Down Podcast. We have a packed lineup for you as we will hear from Arizona football's Chuba Maye, Julian Savanaya, and Leviticus Sua, Arizona track and field's James Onanabosi, and Arizona soccer's Maya Brown, Ella Hatterberg, and Olivia Ramey. Leading off this lineup of guests is our trio of football players who also double as a musical group as of late. Chuba Maye, Leviticus Sua, and Julian Savanaya join us now. We have Leviticus, Chuba, and Julian on the podcast. I'm so excited to have you guys on today. Thank you for being here.
Of course. Thank you for having us.
So the thing I really want to talk about today with you guys is your band that you just started. First of all, is that the correct category to call it a band? And second of all, do you guys have a name?
I wouldn't necessarily call it a band. It's more of like an act, I guess, like just a hobby for us. You know, it's not something we take like full time, I guess you could say. It's more just like something we do for fun. Like whenever people ask us, we're like, oh, okay. And it's brought us all the way here to singing the national anthem.
Yeah, you guys have had a couple events and venues that you've performed at this summer. Also want to shout out Nella, who wasn't able to make it this morning, but he's part of the group. Also Jonah, he's been performing with you guys too before he was drafted and moved. So question for each of you, since you don't really have a group name, what would you want to call yourselves if you had to decide today?
I'd say now that we're down to four people, I'd do a Fantastic Four.
I think Levi just gave me an idea for a name, but instead of the Fabulous Four, it's the Fabulous Four.
We've had this conversation many times, and it all ends the same way. And I actually don't have a name. I wouldn't know what to call us. That's something that takes a while. So.
Yeah, when the right one comes about, it'll stick, and you guys will know. How did you guys get started performing and playing music together?
Oh, yeah, I say officially, we came together and practiced the night before we were invited to perform at one of the all-staff meeting. And so me and my brother were like, man, we need singers. And I figured it took all these three gentlemen, beautiful voices. And just went from there.
Because Julian and Jonah, all the boys, we were doing something that night, and they told us, like, oh, we can't go with you guys. We have to go practice. We were like, what are you guys practicing for? They're like, oh, we're performing tomorrow. And then, like, as a joke, I was like, oh, you guys should let me perform with you. And then they're like, okay. I was like, wait, for real? I was like, what about Nella and Sue? They're like, yeah, let's do it. I was like, damn, let's do it.
Oh, yeah, I was in for sure. And just that was, like, our first official act, but we always mess around. Like, even when I came on my visits, like, to Arizona, I used to come, play, sing with the boys all the time.
Yeah, I'd love to hear from each of you how you got started in music and playing instruments.
Oh, I was sort of like born into music. It wasn't like, it was just something I always grew up, I was always surrounded with, being around my family, with my mom being a singer, dad, grandpa, guitarist. Everybody was just a family musician, so I just started at a young age and just my passion for music just grew as I got older.
Mine is a little similar to Julian's, but I was more to myself rather than like doing it around other people. I didn't really start singing around people until I got here. So yeah, I'm pretty relatively new to singing. It's in front of a crowd, so yeah.
For me, I was just, I don't know, when I was young, I just remember my dad having my older brother and sister sing and play songs, and I kind of just grew into it. Same with me and my little brother. So it's kind of just been a family thing for sure.
Currently, what is your favorite song to cover and play together?
Mine would be the Uso song by Iloki.
I think I would also choose the Uso song, but like a close second would probably be Tennessee Whiskey.
That's true, yeah. The Uso song, just because I feel like everyone nails the harmony, everyone knows the words. And then, yeah, Tennessee Whiskey is like second song.
Do either of you write your own music?
I mean, recently, as of like a month ago, Max Harris, one of the linebackers on the team, he made some songs throughout high school and throughout his college career. And he made one while he was here. And I asked him, I was like, hey, bro, you know, your music's nice. And like, again, jokingly, I was like, you should let me hop on a beat. And then he was like, all right, let's do it tonight. I was like, okay. And then we've made a couple songs, and you know, it's pretty fun. So it's still kind of weird hearing my voice on a song, But yeah, it's fun nonetheless.
A lot of musical talent on this team. As you guys mentioned, you started off at the all-staff meeting here at Arizona Athletics. You've done a couple charity performances at different organizations in town, and then the national anthem at the Arizona Diamondbacks game. And what a lot of people don't know, you guys did fantastic, but when you get down on the field anytime in venue, there is a delay. And at Chase Field, there was like a 3-second delay. Were you guys nervous going into that? And how did you combat that delay with hearing each other, having four of you down there trying to harmonize together?
That was a bit challenging for us, you know, because at first they told us they didn't have enough earpieces for us. So when we tried to practice without the earpieces, we were just like, what's going on here? And we were all looking at each other kind of nervous. And it even got to a point where one of us was like, you know, I don't mind backing out last second, guys. But luckily they had enough earpieces, and we just made a way.
What were you guys thinking going into the real thing? Because you got to practice a couple times pregame. I mean, it was only, what, like 30 minutes beforehand, so not really a lot of time to prep. What were you thinking heading into that one?
We were just thinking, like, we've done all our practice, and we just prepared, and we just got to go out and do what we got to do. And even, like, before we were in the tunnel, like, it kind of felt like a game day, kind of like we had those game day jitters, but we all came together, we said a little prayer, and then kind of all the nerves went away after that.
I've had several people reach out to me and ask if they could listen to it. Did any of you guys get a recording of it? Or if not that one, a recording of any performance that you guys have done? They would just want to hear you guys sing.
Yeah, I think some of our family and friends have some of the recording. I'm not sure if the audio is the best. But yeah, we do have a couple of videos from the charity event, and then at the Diamondbacks game.
And then I was talking to Chris also in media. He said he's going to try to get the original audio from like the Diamondbacks if he can. So we'll keep you guys posted.
Sounds good. Yeah, we'll let Wildcat Nation know where they can hear that. Another question for each of you. Is there a bucket list event or venue that you want to play at?
I guess for me personally, growing up in Hawaii, I think it'd be pretty cool if we like open for a Maoli concert. Because that's always a big one, featuring the big names in island reggae. So I'd say that'll be it for me.
Mine's not really like a popular event or like a social event. It's more personal. My own wedding. There's a lot of songs that I listen to nowadays. I have a whole playlist called "To Whom It May Concern," where like it's like a list of songs where I want to sing to my wife.
I honestly have no clue, so I'm gonna go with the Coliseum, the one in Rome for sure.
Love it. Diverse answers there. Okay, going to switch gears to close this podcast out. Fall camp officially starts this week. You guys report back on Tuesday. First practice is Wednesday morning. You guys are vets now. What advice, what's your biggest piece of advice for some freshmen who are coming into to daunting training camp, knowing it's going to be hot, multiple practices and conditioning and weight sessions a day? What advice are you offering them?
I'll go off the field for this one. I'll say make sure to clean your house, do your laundry, get everything done in the house, because once fall camp starts, you're not going to be wanting to do any of the chores at home. So I say yeah, get all of that done before fall camp starts, so that way you don't have to stress about it during fall camp.
I would just say get out yourself and get into a teammate. Usually like bad stuff starts happening when you get in your head too much. Kind of just remember, like, it's more than just you. Like, it's a whole team sport. So just give in to your teammates, and you guys will all elevate at the same time.
I think very similar to Sewell's answer. Just prepare yourself mentally, because, you know, you always hear people talk about how hard fall camp is. Yes, it is hard physically, but most of the strain is mentally and kind of, like, emotionally. You know, you just feels like you're doing the same thing over and over every single day, which you are. But if you just take time, you know, a couple minutes out of your day to just relax, you know, keep your inner peace and just remember your why and why you're there, and just don't take it for granted, because you know, for me, this is my last season in my college career, so it's a bit bittersweet for me. But I'm gonna make sure I enjoy it. So yeah.
Yeah, that's advice I always hear too, is telling freshmen just don't rush into it. It goes by so fast. Don't wish it by. Final question for you guys. What are you looking forward to most this 2025 season?
I'd say for me, I'm excited for the games, but it's mostly, I'm pretty sure I can vouch for almost every other football player that's ever played the game. It's what happens off the field, like in the locker room, after the games, or like, you know, when you're out with the boys, you know, celebrating a win. It's just, that's what really makes football football to me personally, just how it makes you feel outside of the game. So, yeah.
Yeah, I got to agree with you, but that's definitely what I'm looking for the most is really the camaraderie that's built throughout the year, you know, with the win, singing Bear Down after a big win in the locker. So, yeah, I'm just looking forward to having fun with my brothers on the field, really. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to just going out there winning games, just taking it one game at a time and just being together, cherishing every moment for sure.
Sweet. We're looking forward to it too, and best of luck this week as you guys start fall camp. Thank you guys. As James Onanobosi wraps up his second year a part of the Big 12 Beyond Borders program, he details his experiences with the conference's cultural and international initiative. James, welcome to Wildcat Wednesday. How has your summer been? Can you give us a little rundown on all you've been up to?
Yeah, my summer's been really busy so far. I had a small internship with Adobe this summer, so I was able to go out to their headquarters in San Jose and do a little bit of touring and doing, you know, whatever the BDR role at Adobe is about within tech sales, so that was pretty fun. I was blessed enough to be able to be part of a Big 12 Beyond Borders, where I got to go on a trip to, you know, Mexico City with other Big 12 student athletes, which was really fun. And then also I just came back from Alaska about a week ago, where I got to go fishing with some of my hometown friends, which I had a great time.
That's awesome. And you're in Idaho right now?
I am, yes. Currently okay. In Idaho.
Sweet. So yeah, you mentioned the Big 12 Beyond Borders, and that's really what I wanted to talk to you about today, because for everyone who doesn't know, this is a fairly new initiative that the conference set up, in which every school nominates just two student athletes to be a part of this program. What sparked your interest in being a part of Beyond Borders?
Yeah, so, you know, at first it wasn't really something that I knew about. And, you know, a couple of my coaches came up to me and, you know, just since from my major and like what I like to talk about, you know, around whether that be my teammates or my coaches, you know, they just thought it would be something that I would be interested in. So, you know, I was grateful enough to be, you know, selected, you know, as you said, one of two student athletes, you know, out of the whole 400 student athletes here at the University of Arizona to be part of this program. And at first, I didn't really know what too much was it about. And then as, you know, as time came on and, you know, last year I was able to go to Washington, D.C. for the first trip and just kind of immerse like student athletes within, you know, different cultures. And so, you know, in Washington, D.C., we were able to go to different museums and learn about, you know, the history of African-Americans and Native Americans. And then I also got the chance to, you know, come up with a bill. Since I'm a finance major, my bill is focused on socioeconomic issues. So coming up with the bill that we presented to, you know, legislators within the House. And we got to talk to legislators from, you know, West Virginia, Texas, I believe Oklahoma, mostly schools and other legislators that were focused like within the Big 12 states, which was, you know, a really great opportunity. So I got to come up with a bill with about three or four of my fellow student athletes from, you know, all around the Big 12, and come up with a bill that tried to, that basically try to, you know, solve low-income housing for individuals and building wealth within low-income individuals across the United States.
Wow, that's amazing. So from all those things you just listed, and I know you guys did a lot more too, what would you say was the highlight of last trip summer to Washington, D.C.?
Washington, D.C., I would definitely say exploring the museums. You know, in the beginning, museums is like not something that I always thought I was going to be interested in, but, you know, just how in-depth these museums go into, especially, you know, the African-American Museum and the Native American Museum, and then there's one, the Holocaust Museum, yes, the Holocaust Museum, and just, you know, how in-depth they go into all those subjects, and just something like a lot of those things, like, I had no idea, and it's not something that's, you know, regularly taught in school, so just be able to immerse myself with that culture, you know, knowing what they experienced throughout their life, it was definitely something that was really impactful on me and my life.
Yeah, and then this summer, you guys took a trip, as you mentioned, to Mexico City. What was the itinerary for that trip?
Yeah, so this one, there was not much. It was a little bit more fun this trip, which I really enjoyed. We were able to, definitely visit a few museums and visit the temples in Mexico City, and just immerse ourselves within the culture. And we also got to do a lot of fun things around town, which was we got to go to this like Nacho Libre kind of wrestling thing, which I really enjoyed, and just be able to walk around the town freely and just see like what Mexico City is about. Since a lot of times you hear, Mexico, and it's not always in the greatest light, but being in Mexico City and being in a city that's that populated and surrounded by so many different cultures was definitely something, that interested me and something that I never knew Mexico City was like before.
And I was reading up about the Big 12 Beyond Borders program. I know they mentioned a big thing too is doing some local community service. What were some things that you guys participated in that aspect?
Yeah, so in Washington, D.C., we were able to go to a local we went to a like a went to a local school and kind of like played around with the kids and brought them food and snacks, kind of play with the kids around there and just tell them our story, right, about being student athletes at the college level. And I really enjoyed that. And in Mexico City, it wasn't so much community service, but we were able to like immerse ourselves within culture, as I said, being able to go to these different things and being able to support these local businesses. And one of the fun things we did was going to this locally owned place where we got to be able to cook the traditional Mexican food. And I thought that was such a great time learning about the traditional Mexican food and how everything kind of cultivated over there.
Another cool aspect of this is that you get to meet other student athletes from a variety of different schools and also sports. Do you feel like you built some friendships and relationships from this 2-year program?
Oh, 100%. Going back into this second year is basically my brothers and sisters, right? That I haven't seen for a year, but being able to build these relationships across, different sports and even from different schools all the way across the country, from there's Cincinnati, Utah, and Arizona State, and not being able to, because a lot of the times during our sport, you're not able to, talk to your competitors, right? Have a relationship with them, but then realizing you have, something else in common that you might have not known you had in common since you're always, competing against each other. But yeah, being able to build those relationships, is definitely a big plus, and I'm gonna have these friendships for definitely a long time.
No, that's awesome. Can't have you on the podcast without talking about a little track too, though. This last season, you were on the men's 4x100 meter relay team, and you guys advanced all the way to NCAAs. When you think back to the season together, what do you feel like made your unit so elite this year again?
Yeah, I think over the years it's just been the brotherhood that we've had, right? We've been together for so many years, and being able to, know what my teammates are feeling in that moment, and know just have that compatibility together, and just being able to hang out with each other, outside of the sport of track, right? Not being able to just, I only see them in track, I go home and then deal with the rest of my day. Hanging out with these teammates outside of track, we have that relationship, that's further above track, and I think that just makes our compatibility just stretch out throughout the track and field season.
As you reflect on both indoor and outdoor season, what is your favorite memory from this past year?
My favorite memory from this past year was being able to go to nationals with my team in Oregon this year. My fellow teammate Diego Marquez, who recently graduated, I was able to we were able to bring him along to nationals, which was his first year. And, that was something that was really special to me. And being able to, hanging out with that whole 4x1 on the men's and women's side was something that I won't take for granted ever.
You've started this podcast by telling us about the extremely busy summer you've had, but I know track and field, it's year long. You're continuing to train. What does training look like for you right now? What are you kind of dialing in and focusing on?
Yeah, I think right now it's just getting back to the basics, right? Just, making sure I'm getting in the gym and still keeping my endurance up while not taking, while still taking some time to myself, but not taking too much of a rest. So when I come back to fall season, I won't be completely dead.
Well, sounds good. Thanks so much for being on the podcast, James, and enjoy the rest of your summer.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Fall camp for Arizona soccer is officially underway. The team's three captains, Maya Brown, Ella Hatteberg, and Olivia Ramey, hop on the podcast to preview the 2025 season. With college soccer starting back up, of course, we had to have the three captains for the Wildcats on the podcast to talk about the upcoming season. And what better day to do it than day one of training camp? Maya, Olivia, and Ella, thank you guys for being on the pod today. So I'll start with the news that I just dropped. You three are this year's team captains for Arizona soccer. What does that honor mean to you?
I think it's such a privilege just because it's all the input from our coaches and our teammates and is a testament to our hard work that we put in, but also just like the way that we know we influence our team. And it's just really a privilege to be able to serve them this year and see what we can do for each other.
Yeah, I mean, I'm honored just to play alongside these girls. And so to be able to be put in a role to have this leadership position has been amazing. And just continuing to build those relationships on and off the field and put our team in the best position for this fall.
You know, I'm just so honored and thankful that our coaches and teammates believe in us to lead this team throughout this whole season. And it's just, you know, we're all kind of leaders on this team, so it's definitely really cool to just be able to take on the season as a whole.
And as I mentioned, today was day one, so I thought it'd be fun if you guys could walk us through what a typical week looks like in training camp.
Well, every day we wake up, have practice 7 a.m., and then another practice to follow in the afternoon at 3. So we kind of got like a little example schedule, and in between we sleep, eat, hang out, and talk. Anything we can to just rest, recover, go to treatment. Yeah, so it's definitely like a grind, and but we wouldn't trade it for the world.
Yeah, and I know our freshmen this year have our summer classes too, so in between they're getting that work in too, so it's a busy schedule throughout the day.
And sometimes our afternoon trainings, like right now, like we're split in between two groups, so defense goes first and then offense goes second, and so we just kind of split trainings to like really like focus in on like the defensive unit and the offensive unit.
I would love to know, especially in this Arizona heat, what are some hydration tips and tricks that you guys have? I know back in college I was playing, it was like chugging Pedialytes. That was my thing. Do you guys have any tips?
I kind of put like, well, I drink a lot of electrolytes throughout the day, but I also put sometimes like salt in my water, just like a little sprinkle. It doesn't taste like salt water, but it actually really helps.
I drink a lot of water as well, and we run through water bottles at practice and Powerade bottles, and I know our trainers work really hard to keep them full and cold, because if it's not cold, it's not the same. But for me also, Ella actually put me on some electrolytes called Ultima, and they are amazing. So if you need some, go have those.
They taste amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just drinking a lot of water throughout the day, and then at night I like make a liquid IV collagen mixture, and right before bed just chug that, so I'm hydrated for the next day.
I love it. And on this topic of advice, so freshmen are coming in. I know this time of year is always so daunting for them, just 2 days and all the workouts, and it's your first taste of college soccer. If you could go back and tell yourself, your freshman self, some piece of advice, what would you offer?
I just like enjoy the process of becoming, like enjoy the moments, the hard moments, and then lean on your teammates, because we've all been there. Like it feels like it went by so quick and we were just freshmen. So just lean on us and enjoy the hard moments.
I feel like I literally just moved into the dorms. So it's definitely something that everyone says goes by fast, and it truly does go by fast. And so it's just be present and like know that it'll go by fast, and so you just have to like really like take in the moments, even the hard, tough moments. Like just don't take for granted what you have here.
I would say my biggest piece of advice would just be, like the other day I was told, be where your feet are, and I think that's such an important thing. And like, you're gonna make mistakes, that's a huge part, and the biggest ways that you improve and learn are when you do make those mistakes. So don't take them and let them ruin your practice or your day. Take them and learn from them, and not be afraid to like make a change and be you and have fun, because you're here because you want to have fun and you're meant to be here. That's why our coaches brought you here and everybody wants you here. So don't forget that.
And also, like, 4 years of your life may sound like a huge time, but actually, like, in the grand scheme of things, it's like such a small part of your life. So really, like, just take each moment for what it is.
And then I wanted to ask you guys too about what your summer looked like, because I know a lot of younger girls, especially in high school, that are aspiring to play college soccer, a big thing is always conditioning, because there's fit and then there's soccer fit. What did the summer look like for you guys? Did you play, and what was kind of your running and cardio and workout schedule?
Yeah, so I played with the WPSL team in Texas. And then alongside that, we have like bridge workouts. So we'll lift by program through our trainer. And then we also have conditioning workouts, extra conditioning. And then if we go on vacation, I'm still like working out in the gym. So getting at least like a 3-4 mile run in before I enjoy my day is kind of what my days look like.
I also played on a summer league team. And it's just kind of like plugging in like, oh, like that day I didn't get as much running in, so I'll do my extra sprints or like more high speed running or whatever. And shout out to Nick, our great trainer or our great strength coach, who put together all our like bridge workouts. So yeah, basically prioritizing cardio on like when you're on vacation and just playing and working out basically.
For me, my summer looked like a tiny bit different because I was rehabbing from an injury for the first half of the summer. So I think that's another thing to be said is like the summer is your time to recover because yes, you want to be training hard and like ready to come in, but you also have to listen to your body at the same time. And I think that's not talked about enough as well, because if you just push yourself and push yourself and push yourself, you can reach a limit and nobody wants to hit that point. So just taking care of your body in both ways that are physically demanding, but also doing whatever it needs to recover. So
I know it's really been just one practice, but would love a little scouting report from you guys. We'll start with some of the new girls. Who are some girls that you're extra excited that have joined the team this season?
Honestly, I think our freshman class, there's only 6 of them, so they're a smaller class, but they've all come in and came with a big smile on their face and ready to learn, ready to work. And I think it's easy to come in as a freshman and be nervous and all of those kinds of things, but they've really just taken it, everything that we gave them in captain's practices, and like ran with it and are making everything that we give them their own. And then of course we have our 2 new transfers, Lily and Aurora, who are both coming from SEC, and we couldn't be more excited that they're part of our team as well.
Yeah, I mean, we have a good attacking presence within our newcomers too, so we're looking forward to see what they bring to our attack. I mean, we lost some senior players in those positions, so both in the midfield and at the forward position, we're looking forward to see what they bring.
Yeah, our freshmen and the transfers that joined us earlier this spring have really all come in and just like shown their own and really came off like right on their front foot, and just were excited, and they are honestly pushing all of us to our best, and it's really cool to see that from freshmen, because sometimes freshmen can be a little more shy and a little uncomfortable. It's a new space, but the first day they hit the ground running and they've been amazing.
I also just want to say like a huge testament to our freshmen, but also our sophomore class, because we did have a very veteran team last year, which means this year we have a very young team, and I think that that's going to come with so much energy and excitement, and I think the sophomore class is really leading that drive, so I think it's going to be a good year for sure.
And kind of off of that, Olivia, who are some returners that you're extra excited and maybe have some higher expectations for this season?
I mean, we have 4 juniors, so it's a big responsibility on them for being the only upperclassmen apart from us seniors, so they have a big responsibility as well as leadership role. So, I mean, seeing Shanti step up in the midfield and play her senior role in the midfield, and Riss at defense, and Ella, and Aranda also at the defense position. I mean, they all played a vital role last year, so we look forward to them stepping up this year as well.
And kind of what Olivia said earlier, our sophomore class is majority of our team. Yeah. Like, they are a huge class, and they have definitely played a big role in just leadership, even though, yeah, they're underclassmen. They are a big part of our team, and they definitely have helped lead.
I think, honestly, I'm just excited for our whole team this year, just because we've worked so hard to change our culture and really bring our team together as one. It's like we have the role of captains, but our entire team is filled with leaders, and I think that that's just a huge testament to everything that we've worked on. So.
Also, I feel like our team is like true best friends with each other. Like, yeah, we're spending double days most of the hours, but then at night we're all planning something to go hang out with each other. Like, it's really cool to see that our culture on the or off the field translate to being on the field.
And then final question, last year 11 wins, the most since 2019. What's something you're taking from last season and carrying into this season with you guys?
I mean, now we know the expectations in the Big 12 and what we're up against. I think we played a few of our first games really well, and there was a few slip-ups towards the end. I think we know now, like, we got to keep consistency throughout the whole season, but we have that grind, we have that competitive mindset, so I'm looking forward to this season.
I think just from, we did have the best season we've had in 5 years last year, and we all felt that emotion and felt that excitement, and we want more of it. And I think that's kind of what's really fueling the drive of our team is last year we saw what we're capable of, and I feel like this year we feel like it's our year to prove it and put a name behind it and show everybody what Arizona soccer is really about.
Yeah, it's definitely motivating to, I feel like sometimes we can be overlooked, and so I feel like last year was a cool, like, eye-opening season for us and showing everyone that, yeah, we're Arizona soccer and we're a force to be reckoned with, you know? And so just approving that and having an even better this season, maybe way more than 11 wins. That's what we're aiming for.
Yeah, for sure.
Love it. Thank you guys so much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you.
That concludes this edition of Wildcat Wednesday on the Bear Down Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Bear Down and go Cats.